Hi everyone, I'm Karen Webster and welcome to Data Drivers, our weekly series that digs into three data points to find the much richer and more insightful story. Today I'm joined by Steve Goodrich, President and CEO of Zipline, and Kristen Bailey, VP of Consumer Engagement, also of Zipline. Steve, Kristen, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
So here's the story that we're going to dig into. I think it's a fascinating story, and what you guys are doing I think is very useful for everyone to pay attention to, because it talks about payments adoption, so new payments adoption and consumer engagement and how to actually get consumers on board. Zipline, for everyone who is listening, powers a payments platform that helps gas and convenience stores do exactly that on both the plastic card and mobile payments application. So let's dig in. Data point number one, and I took this from your website, $58 million. That's the dollar value of savings that Cumberland Farms SmartPay members have saved when buying gas at Cumberland Farms using the SmartPay app that you guys power. At 10 cents a gallon, I think that's more or less the discount offered, that's certainly a lot of fuel since the program started in 3 years. Steve, Kristen, tell us a little bit more about how that works and how the economics and the value prop works for Cumberland Farms, Zipline, and obviously the consumer.
Sure. Well, thank you again for having us. And that $58 million, as you mentioned, is the amount that consumers have saved by virtue of 10 cents a gallon rollback at the pump. And it essentially represents an investment on Cumberland Farms' part in loyalty that has resulted in over $1 billion in fuel sales at Cumberland Farms. Obviously, customers are drawn to Cumberland because of the discount that is funded in part by use of this alternative payment system platform that does not have interchange or processing fees that add cost to the gas that's being sold to the consumers. So on the one hand, it is an investment in loyalty by Cumberland, but it is also funded in part by savings that they achieve by using an alternative to traditional payment forms.
And so when a consumer pulls up to the pump, how do they know that this is available to them? What's the acquisition strategy that pulls them into saving the 10 cents a gallon on their fill up, and what do they have to do to get it?
I think the number one way that Cumberland has communicated this savings opportunity to the consumer is by showing a regular price and a member price. And there's a distinct, it's easy math, and any consumer can quickly see, hey, that's how I could save 10 cents. And so they can easily enroll on their phone or on their home computer. They ask the team member at the cash register for more information. They pick up a card. So it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty clear and cleanly expressed at all of Cumberland's locations.
When the program was first rolled out, there was some radio and television in support of it as well.
Now, how does that influence, we're going to talk about this in just a little bit specifically, but how does this influence their usage overall of Cumberland Farms and the things that they may have in the store versus just purchases at the pump?
So one of the things that we have learned from perusing our data specific to merchants using this product is that 28% of the users that sign up for this alternative payment become what we call super adopters. And they will shop the store 135% more than a baseline or an ordinary a non-user of this product. In terms of, they will also purchase more gallons, and they will typically spend more in the store, including more frequent visits inside the store from the pump because of the affinity that's been created by this with this loyalty mechanism.
So these super adopters have shifted more of their purchases to Cumberland Farms and away from other establishments that they might have visited for convenience purposes or other reasons?
Yes, the super adopters are kind of a story within the story. Overall, 84% of the consumers that enroll in this product continue to use the product. Within that 84%, which is a very high rate of stickiness, within that 28%, we have what we call the super adopters that shop even more than the ordinary customer.
So let's talk about the second data point. And this is an interesting telltale, or perhaps not. I want to get your view on it. $2.16 is the average price of a gallon of gas these days. And I know that most of the programs that you power peg savings to a fixed amount per gallon, 10 cents, 7 cents, whatever the station operator may wish it to be, versus a percentage of spend. But does the price of gas have anything to do with interest level on the part of consumers wanting to participate in such a program?
Interestingly, we've seen that it has had no impact, and that is something we were wondering about when gas was $4 or $5 a gallon and started to roll back down to the $2 range. We wondered about the impact on our business model, and what we've seen is that there's been no impact, which we've been a little surprised by. But again, in the end, I think this is a loyalty mechanism. I think the merchants are using it for loyalty, and it creates a direct connection to these consumers, and for whatever reason, that affinity seems to be very sticky. When it comes to the economics of it, of course, there is a greater price sensitivity. When gas is $4 or $5 a gallon, people are a lot more interested in saving any way that they can, and so that, of course, is a driver that you would think might make greater adoption at those higher gas prices. But conversely, at when you have a 10 cent per gallon savings on $2 gas, depending, I guess, on your vantage point, it's actually a much greater savings, ten cents over $2.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how consumers perceive the savings and perceive the value.
I think that's correct. But interestingly, we thought there might be an impact, as did our merchants, but there has been none.
Let's talk about the third data point, and I want to dig into this one in a little bit more depth because I think it has some relevance to just any new payment mechanism that's being introduced, 66 days. So this is what researchers conclude is the amount of time that it takes someone to totally unlearn a habit and get into the habit of something new. Now this is a study that was done at University of College London, and they also suggested that there was variability based on what habit someone was breaking and reforming. So it may swing from 21 days to 84 days. But you know, on average, about 66 days, so a couple of months. Is that 66 days more or less in line with what you experience in getting consumers to adopt? You mentioned 84% of them who enroll ultimately use the product. How long does it take them to become a habit-forming, card-carrying, Zipline-powered payments user?
We see the 66 days. It's an interesting factoid. I mean, we don't necessarily look at it in those terms. How many days does it take? Because what the behavior that we observe is more of a ramp up. There's more of a period of building where the consumer begins to try it and then like it and then ultimately adopt and adapt to the new behavior. So we see habit changing as part of loyalty building. So making that consumer feel more and more comfortable and confident with that new behavior, creating a pattern, a habit, a rhythm in their buying. And it has to do with how often they shop, what they're shopping for. If they're buying coffee every morning, that gives you more and more opportunity to touch that consumer and change that behavior. If they're only visiting once a week, it's going to take longer to change their behavior. So on the whole, what we see is really high stickiness with our mobile and card program. 84%, as Steve said, 84% of consumers who enroll, they adopt. That's why we call them adopters. They adopt and they change their behavior. They create a new habit that they actually stay with for a really long time, for the long term. We see very little drop off, and then 28% become super adopters, where they're spending even more.
And I think back to your question about the 66 days. It is something that we've looked at, but we don't track, to Kristen's point. But in terms of a consumer hitting their stride, if you were to ask, you know, if you were to measure the change in behavior as the point in time when a consumer has hit their stride and this is now their regular form of payment, then it probably is around the 60-day mark that occurs. Again, if you measure the change in behavior by the first time they begin using it, then it's obviously relatively immediate. But if you measure it in terms of hitting their stride and kind of their rhythm, it probably is around the 60-day mark.
Do most people fill up once a week? Is that an average? I know that it varies, but is that about average?
It definitely varies. I mean, I would say it's closer to two.
You mean a couple times a month?
Right.
Yes. Right, less than once a week.
Yeah, it's because the rule of thumb that I've seen in terms of payment habituation is about eight times in a row. So if you think about, you know, how long it takes someone buying gas to do it eight times in a row, it's probably right around the 60-day mark, more or less.
Having said that, though, consumers, although they may not need to fill up right away, and this kind of feeds into what Kristen was saying about the ramping up of the loyalty, is we will see in the early adoption of this payment type, it may just be the fill up every 10 days, but you will progressively see more and more stops and more usage, more and more trips inside the store where maybe they're stopping not to purchase gas, but to purchase products inside the store because of this affinity and loyalty that's being created.
Yeah, it's interesting. Let's talk a little bit more about that in the time that we have left. Is it the fact that enrolling in this program gives more of an incentive for that individual to go inside the store and purchase? Is that new behavior for that consumer? Do you know?
It's new behavior in that it's being welcomed. So now if they have a mobile app and they're paying with their mobile app, they're also receiving offers, they're being welcomed inside, they're being, based on their behavior, they're being invited to try related new products, and essentially they're being invited to cross categories. So they're doing a brilliant job of training the consumer, providing an experience for the consumer where they are shopping across different categories and becoming more and more familiar and having greater and greater affinity for a wider offering from the brand.
How is this influencing the behavior of the station and store operator? What are they doing differently now because they have this channel and because they have this potential to engage the consumer? What are they doing differently than perhaps they hadn't focused on before?
Well, I think, again, it's a welcoming across different categories. So I think that they're curating the whole consumer experience in a way that makes the consumer feel welcomed and understood and appreciated. So that is distinctly different. It's drawing on the affinity, and it's kind of building more and more affinity. It's drawing on affinity, and it's creating more affinity.
And another example of a change for the operator would be their use of data that is accumulated as part of this process, so that once these consumers are loyal, are making regular visits, that data can be leveraged to have more targeted offers to try to get Karen to come to the store 3 or 4 times a month instead of 2.
Do you talk about the percentage of overall volume that these new payments alternatives represent for the operators? Do you talk about that publicly? Is it 10%, 20%, 40%?
Absolutely. It's something we're very proud of, and I think it is the most glaring example of a change in consumer behavior. For example, at Cumberland Farms, SmartPay is the number one payment method. Visa is actually the number two payment method at Cumberland Farms, which is in today's world is very interesting, and again,
wow,
goes back to a change in behavior, obviously.
Wow. Well, that's a good data point on which to end. I mean, it's obviously a very interesting and powerful way to give consumers an alternative. I mean, we are changing their behavior, and certainly you're doing that with the technology and the app, but consumers are opting into the change because there's something of value that they're getting as a result of the experience you're providing, and that the station operator is now adapting and adopting to as well. So it's a great example of a platform play gone well. Steve and Kristen, thanks very much for taking the time to share your data with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you, Karen.
And thanks, everyone, for joining, and we'll talk to you again next time. Thanks, everyone.